guest today is Brent Schooley. Brent, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How's it going?
It's going great. We're just finishing up Codepalooza in Louisville, Kentucky.
Absolutely.
This was my first Codepalooza, and I had a blast.
Awesome. It's my second Codepalooza, and like you said, it's a blast. Just a great time.
You wrote a book.
I did.
What's the title?
Designing for Windows 8, published by A-Press.
Okay. It's out right now, right?
Yep. Yeah, it came out in March of last year.
And let's talk about designing for Windows 8. All
okay.
Right.
Excellent.
Sounds like you know a lot about the topic.
Sure.
So I'm actually pretty new to Windows 8, which is kind of funny because it's my job to teach other people that.
Right.
But I'm learning it as I go. I'm learning it very rapidly. I'm learning XAML. I'm learning a little bit of HTML. But I don't think I'm a designer.
Sure.
And I think that's true of most Windows 8 developers. They're either left brain or they're right brain.
That's fair.
Is that a problem? If I'm not artistic, for example, can I still design it, or do I need to bring somebody in to design?
Well, we can talk about that, but I think either way. There are thankfully templates that come for Windows 8 in Visual Studio and Blend that help you get off on the right track, that incorporate a lot of the design rules that Microsoft put forward, but that's going to get you most of the way there, I guess. Bringing in a designer is going to give you a little more sort of flair towards making sure that it's an attractive application.
All right.
But the templates will help you get things in the right place.
I'll tell you, I don't want to discount how attractive an application is, but I want it to be easy to use and functional. I like that part of design. I think that's an important part that people don't talk about enough.
Yeah, and I think you get a lot out of bringing a designer in for that.
For that user
because
experience.
Because the user experience layer, a lot of people think of design, and they think of graphic design and visual design, but they forget that there's a plethora of different types of designers. We have interaction designers that focus on how things move and how they behave and that sort of thing. You have UX designers. You have UX architects. There's a whole field of different types of designers. It's not just making things pretty. A lot of it has to do with making things functional.
And what does your book focus on? Is it more on the pretty side, the functional side, a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two because a big component of the Windows 8 sort of redesign for tablet is things like the charms bar and the app bar at the bottom of the screen, the navigation bar at the top of the screen. Where should things in a Windows 8 application go? And how do you best approach that? That's design.
Yep.
That's absolutely design. So those sorts of things. I try to shy away a little bit from the visual design because this is a book for both designers and developers.
Okay.
And I need to be able to communicate to developers who may or may not have ever used Photoshop or Expression Design or any of those types of programs.
Sure.
Like most of them, I suppose.
In the past, 10, 15 years ago, Microsoft would publish these very large white papers and on guidance. It was almost like dogma. You know, you should have file and then edit and then view, window help, and screen should be this color, and you should have the top right corner should be the minimize and the maximize and the close, and all that stuff. It was fairly rigid.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still true today?
Okay, so there are some rigid rules, and there are rules that, as with most rules, are meant to be broken at some point.
Let's start with what things we have to do.
Have to is such a tough word.
Well, the rigid ones then.
Things that you'll the original have tos. Now that we've kind of reached a little bit of maturity on Windows 8, some of these rules are starting to get broken in creative ways, which is great. Good designers. I've said all last year in my presentations that some creative designer is going to come along and break the rules in a way that makes us go, I wonder why that rule even matters. And that's good, because that happens on every platform.
Right.
But some of the hard and fast things. Windows 8 is built around something called a typographic grid. It has a very strong typographic grid. What that denotes is different font sizes and weights that indicate the visual hierarchy of the documentation, and also a strong sense of alignment. So the title, for instance, goes in a certain place in a Windows 8 application. The content region where things get laid out starts 140 pixels down from the top of the screen. The left margin starts 120 pixels over from the left edge. Why? Because the back button needs to fit next to the title in that space. So there's a lot of rules like that that govern font sizes and placement for common elements. And these are not so much hard and fast, but they're hard to break, because when you break them, when you switch between app to app, you can tell the ones that are following it and the ones that aren't following it very easily, because stuff just kind of shifts a little bit on you.
Okay, so that's hard to memorize, all those numbers of pixels and font sizes. But if I select File, New, Windows Store Project, I get a lot of templates to choose from. And those have those rules applied already, is that right?
Yeah. So one of the big things that I tell people is do not start from blank application. When you start from blank application, you have thrown away the opportunity to have a lot of those rules baked in.
So
for
now
you.
I have to learn those rules if I'm blank.
If you're starting with blank, you need to know where to place certain things when you're adding to the application. Whereas if you start with something like the Hub application template that was introduced in Windows 8.1, not only do you get a really flexible infrastructure for laying out your application, it follows the rules implicitly.
Excellent. So. Tell me some of the rules. Tell me the rigid ones first.
Well, those were some of the rigid ones.
Those are
like
rigid.
That left
okay.
margin, right. the top margin. Then there's sort of the hard rules, but they're a little loose in their interpretation. So things like app commands should go in the app bar.
Makes sense.
Okay, well, what is an app command? What defines an app command? When should I go from having an app bar button to having a button that's always on screen? Right, because we never said that you had to get everything off screen.
Okay.
We just said that things that you will commonly but not all the time need should go in the app bar. So, if you've seen Mail or Outlook in Windows 8, right, there's tons of buttons that appear on the main UI that accompany the app bar buttons that are transient, right, only when the app bar is showing. So things like reply or delete. Or a new message. These are things that you're probably going to do all the time within Mail.
And it doesn't make sense to have to swipe up.
You shouldn't have to swipe up all the time. Right, yes. So that should be something that is always visible, not an on-demand sort of thing. Those are the kinds of things that you have to weigh. It's great to clean up the screen and focus only on the content, which is one of the goals with the Windows 8 design, but there are times when it makes a whole lot of sense to leave buttons on screen.
Okay.
So that's where it requires a little interpretation and kind of deciding priorities. Is it something that I should remove from the UI because it's not adding anything when it's there, or is it something that's so essential that I need to leave it on?
That's interesting. So my very first Windows 8 app, I had a settings button. You go in there and you change the settings, and it would remember them, and I left it on the screen.
Yeah.
Which is a design mistake, I think I learned.
It sure is.
People turned out, it actually passed certification.
Well, that's interesting.
It made it into the store.
Hmm.
But everyone I talked to said, no, this shouldn't be on the screen. And it really shouldn't. It was something that you would use it occasionally.
Yes.
And leaving it, taking up screen real estate.
Yeah, and actually,
was a design mistake.
That's another design fundamental, is that Windows 8 has a settings charm, which is where your settings should go. So having a settings button now duplicates functionality in the charm. So it's a full circle kind of deal. I'm kind of surprised it got through certification.
Don't hopefully nobody on that certification team is actually watching this.
If you are, shame on you.
What else? Let's talk about some other stuff.
Okay. So there's a lot of different types of controls, right?
Yeah.
That are in there. So you've got grid applications. I talked about the Hub application template.
Yeah.
I really feel like that's where people should be starting as of Windows 8.1, is from that Hub application template.
Because
one of the things that's really amazing on a lot of these Bing applications is that big hero section at the front. So this is where you've got that big, bold image that is the headline story. And then
You
pan over, you get all the rest of the stuff. So that's in it's in news, it's in sports, right? It's in travel.
These are the applications that are installed with Windows 8.
And I think they're great. I think they're well designed. Mm-hmm. And one component of them is that big front landing page thing when you launch it, and that's called a hero section.
Okay.
And the Hub application template gives you one of those for your application. And you can get rid of it if you don't need it. But what you also get is each section within a Hub page has independent layout. So I can make one section of this page look a certain way, make another section of the page look a different way, all using the same or different data sources. So it's the most flexible template that's there that also still gives you some of that guidance sort of baked into it.
Okay, so that leads to me to one of the complaints I've heard some people say about Windows 8, which is that they think all the apps look pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. there's an advantage for things looking the same because now, like as you pointed out, you can when you go from one app to another, it eases the use of them. But maybe it's a little boring if that happens.
Yeah. What I think is missed in that is something that was talked about at last year's build. They did a design session where they talked about some newer things, newer concepts that they've been considering for Windows 8.1. And one of them is personality. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you get personality into your app? And they showed some examples of, you know, different kind of layering. So maybe the backdrop for the application is a full bleed, an image that takes up the entire screen. And then you layer the content over top of that in such a way that it has its own sort of feel to it that's distinct from anything else on the system. That's certainly true. If you're going to start every application from the grid application template, and we're going to have tile, 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 and when you tap a tile, you see the content, every app's going to look the same. Mm-hmm. So really moving yourself beyond something like the grid application template into something that's a little more flexible,
like the hub,
is going to help you right off the bat, because you can, for each different section, you can sort of imagine how that would best look. For that section of content. So imagine you've got an application where you're trying to design for your friends where they should meet up for dinner. You can imagine one section has the friends themselves. So it's probably a list of thin tiles that has their faces and contact and that sort of thing. And as you move through, maybe you have recommendations, and maybe it makes sense for those to be bigger, to have an image from that restaurant or something, and also have the associated details of who recommended it and what time they should meet. And then perhaps when you drill into one of those, you've got a big map where it's located, and off to the right, some sample menu items. You can imagine how everything in the application should look. And if you follow that through logically and look at each section of the application within the Hub app, you can lay them all out appropriately. So it kind of gives you the freedom to explore how things fit within the Windows 8 world.
Are you you have some apps in the store, right?
I actually don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. No. So I want to look at samples of how you've applied your own design principles.
Yeah. So what's interesting is I did build one application to use as a design reference for the book.
I see.
Which never made it to the store for a variety of reasons that we don't need to get into. But it's in there as a reference, and the code is actually available on GitHub.
Okay. So if I'm a developer and I'm building Windows 8 applications, I want to have good design, where do I start?
Well, it actually starts right where you'd think it would, at the beginning, and you need to determine what it is that your app is going to be best at. And this starts with something that Microsoft calls a best at statement. And it reads like this: my application, insert application name here, is the best in, insert category name here, at. And then there's a blank that you need to fill in with about 10 to 12 words. Keep it short, concise, and to the point.
Okay.
Because what researchers have found over time is that you really have a little bit more than a minute at any given time. The average application session for a user is about 71.56 seconds. So
about 71.56.
This is what they found. It's like it's about a minute. So you get their attention for a minute. So the worst thing you could possibly do is build an application that can't get anything done in a minute. So you need to have a focused app, focused and direct. So
this is very different than the enterprise applications that I've been building during my consulting career.
Sure. So if you start with that statement and really decide what it is that your app is supposed to do, you can brainstorm all of the features that you could possibly support and then cross off all the ones that don't match the best at statement. Take those five or six that are left, implement them, and put it on the store.
Interesting.
And I think that is the most fundamental thing that I think you can do to get yourself on the right track. It has less to do with all of the design stuff. It has more to do with, are you building the right app?
Okay. Now, I have noticed that Windows 8 apps tend to be a lot more focused. They tend to be smaller than the other apps that I've seen historically. Certainly the ones that I've built.
Sure. And I think that's a great place to start. You can add those other features later. But as long as you're building the right app for the right person, you've claimed what it is that you're supposed to be best at, go do it.
Great. Do you have an online presence?
I do. You can find me on Twitter, at Brent Schooley. You can also find me about.me/Brent Schooley, I think, has all of the other places you might find me. Mm-hmm. I can be emailed at brent@twilio.com.
Brent, thanks a lot.
Yeah. It's been a great time here at Codepalooza. One thing that's great is all of these great friends gather to talk about technology. What could be better?